T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally, where author T.C. Hill helps you understand how the human body works and how to work your body. To submit a question for an upcoming show, go to kickitnaturally.com. Now here's your host, T.C. Hale.
Hey, welcome back to Kick It Naturally. I'm your host, T.C. Hale, and I have missed you horribly. It's been a while since we had a new episode. We've been working on some really big things, very exciting things that are coming to you guys very soon. We're going to tell you about them soon. Lots of big stuff going on. But I'm super excited to be back today to share an episode about the ketogenic diet and the pros and the cons, because there are cons, and how to troubleshoot problems so that you can succeed with a ketogenic diet. And I'm going to bring on a special guest today, Nissa Gran from EatingFatIsTheNewSkinny.com. And Nissa was a stay-at-home mom who came across my book, Kick Your Fat in the Nuts, and she lost like 90 pounds and improved all kinds of crazy health issues. And then she heard us talking about keto on an episode of Kick It Naturally a while ago, and she kind of started digging into that information. And after her second pregnancy, she brought her total weight loss down to like 110 pounds that she lost. And then she also took our bioindividuality coach course and became a health coach and nutrition author. And if you're a health pro and you're listening to our six-figure health pro show, you heard Nissa on episode 13 and 14, where we did kind of a case study of how she springboarded her coaching career so quickly. And she talks about how she got featured in People magazine for being, you know, 100 pounds lost kind of thing, and all kinds of fun stuff like that. So if you're a health pro and you haven't heard that, check out episode 13 and 14 of Six Figure Health Pro. So today I'm bringing her on to share some insights into keto and how to do it the right way for those who want to try it out. And Nissa and I are actually working on an online course for those who want to use keto that should be finished soon. And we have some other courses coming up too. But while we're wrapping up that keto course, we're going to do a free webinar on troubleshooting keto this week. It'll be totally free. If you want to check that out and register, you can go to kickitnaturally.com/keto. And a lot of people don't realize this, but when you follow my weight loss book, you end up moving towards a moderate or cyclical ketogenic diet. You may not start off, or a lot of you will start off eating more, you know, medium carb foods, especially if your blood pressure is low. But as blood pressure improves, if you start to kind of drop more and more carbs to speed up the weight loss, and you're consuming more, you know, fats like coconut oil and the coconut yummies that I talk about and stuff like that, then many people start to produce more ketones. So I've seen a lot of major success using different degrees of a ketogenic diet, but I've also had clients fail miserably on a ketogenic diet as well. So today we want to talk about why that happens with some people and steps you can take to avoid that. So without further delay, shut up. Let's get going. Let's bring on my interview with Nissa, and we'll dig into how to do the keto the right way. I am here with Nissa Gran. How the heck are you, Nissa?
Good. How are you?
I'm saying fantastic. And Nissa is following the policy that if you listen to Kick It Naturally enough, then you get interviewed on Kick It Naturally.
I've listened to it a lot, so maybe that's true.
I think that might be the fact that nobody knew the secret, and that's kind of what it was. So, Nissa, for those of you who don't know, tell us a little bit about how we got here. And, you know, we're going to have a lot today. We're going to talk about the pros and cons and troubleshooting for a keto diet. And we're going to get into a lot of that stuff. But let's let everybody know why. How do we know each other? Why am I talking to you? What's going on?
So a little bit about me is I started dieting from a really young age, probably like around 12 years old. And then I yo-yo diet basically for the next 25 years. And
nice.
Not only yo-yo diets, but I had really poor health from all of the yo-yo diets. Throughout that time, I always try to study the latest health articles and nutrition articles so I can lose weight. but it was basically all of the same information that pretty much everyone else is reading. And, you know, the information like eat less calories, work out more intensely. And it was just leading to more stress and leading to the temporary weight loss followed by a whole lot of weight regain.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how, you know, even though it's not working for everybody, since everybody's saying the same things, you just feel like, oh, this is what I do.
Yeah, and even when you fail at it, you just try it again because that's what everyone's still saying and everyone's still having problems with that.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah, so I mean, I basically always have been passionate about learning about health, but it took me, you know, more than 25 years to find your information, the Kick It in the Fat, Kick Your Fat in the Nuts book, and also the Kick It Naturally podcast to actually learn the real information that helped me improve my health and lose weight for good.
Right. And if anybody's listening and like maybe this is the first time you searched for keto and you found this, if you haven't read any of my books or anything, you can read the book that Nissa's talking about, Kick Your Fat in the Nuts. You can get it for free at kickitnaturally.com/book. Okay. So keep going.
Okay. So like I said, I had a long list of health problems for more than 2 decades. And a lot of it, I think, comes back to all of the low-calorie diets that I tried because everyone told me I needed to eat low-calorie in order to lose weight. So my list started early. I think I started getting daily headaches around the age of 14 or 15. And I had them daily. Some of them were just annoying. And I had other headaches that turned into migraines that were so intense that they sent me to the ER a few times because I was pretty sure that I was having a brain aneurysm.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty intense. I also had anxiety and depression from a young age, maybe like junior high or even early high school that started. I always seemed to have constant sinus infections with lots of green stuff coming out that would last for weeks at a time.
Yeah, green stuff is so pretty. And it's always like, how can there be this much green stuff? I'm not putting green stuff in. Where is all the green coming from?
Yeah. And it would last sometimes for weeks, sometimes up to a month at a time where wow. I do a box of Kleenex a day. I also had cystic acne from a really young age, probably my early teens. And I tried everything I could to get rid of it, every over-the-counter, every prescription medicine. I even tried 2 rounds of Accutane, but nothing cleared it up for good. So I had that from a teenager up until my mid-30s, which I see a lot of other women at that age range that has that as well.
Right.
I had heartburn. I remember getting heartburn from as young as 10 years old. I would drink milk to try to help it. I had a lot of nausea, especially, you know, throughout the 25-year yo-yo, I definitely did try low-carb before, and I would always get nausea every time I tried low-carb, so it never really worked long for me. I had constipation, and I didn't even know it, because since most of my life, I only pooped once a week. I just thought that was normal.
Yeah, a lot of people, they're like, yeah, I'm not constipated. I still go every week. I was like, every week? We want to go every day.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, I was that person for a long time.
Yeah.
I never considered myself an insomniac, but pretty much every night I would try to get 8 hours of sleep because that's what people say you need. And I would end up either laying there wide awake for the first 2 or 3 hours trying to fall asleep, but I couldn't. Or sometimes I would fall asleep right away and then I'd wake up an hour or two later and it would take a few hours to fall back asleep.
Right.
Or if something woke me up at like 3 or 4 in the morning, then I was pretty much up for the day because there was no way that I could fall asleep. I had hypoglycemia and constant junk food cravings. And for some reason, my skin was super itchy. I mean, I know why, but back then I didn't know why. I was just always itchy and my nose was always dripping. I thought that's because I lived in Chicago and it was cold and that's what people's noses do. And then to top it all off, when I was pregnant with my first son, I had gestational diabetes. And so I went to see a doctor and a nutritionist, and I followed their advice, which was to eat low fat and processed foods. So I actually ended up following their advice, and I needed insulin during pregnancy, which is a little scary. And then I was told by both of them that if I didn't continue to eat a low fat diet, that I would end up being diabetic within 10 years. Yes. Which scared me as well. Right. I followed their advice for like 6 months and my blood sugar levels were still at diabetic levels at that time.
Well, that was a long list of things that you were dealing with. That's not, that wouldn't make a real good dating profile, just, you know, going through all those things, just so you know. Like, but that does not sound like that was a very good time.
And it's, that doesn't even cover everything. That's, those are just the main problems I dealt with, but there's definitely a lot of other little things I dealt with over that time.
Okay, so how did things start to turn around?
So basically, after I had my first son, I was up at my highest weight ever, like around 245 pounds. I didn't want to know, so I didn't weigh myself, so I'm just kind of guessing. But basically, for the first 6 months, I tried their advice. I tried to do Weight Watchers and add back in a lot of cardio because I was a chronic over cardio person where I would just, you know, do my elliptical machine every single day for an hour at a time at least. So I tried to add all that back in and I just kept losing and regaining the same 5 pounds. So the weight that I would work so hard to lose would not stay gone. So I was actually looking for another diet book on Amazon and I came across your book for free. I'm also, like I said, I'm a health junkie, so I like to read everything I can. So I just decided to download it since it was free and then read it later. So I actually, you know, I read the other diet book, which didn't really help me. And then I got to your book and I read it. And a lot of the information was really new, even though I'd been studying nutrition information for more than 20, 25 years. A lot of the stuff I actually never heard before.
Right. And sometimes it's like, okay, since the same thing is not working, why don't I try this, what this idiot is saying that's completely the opposite of what everybody else is saying, and let's see what happens with that.
I thought a lot of it actually sounded really smart. So I thought it was smart.
Okay. So you start to work on your digestion and you're taking a lot of the steps in the book and what things started to improve first?
So the first thing that I noticed was the weight that I was losing was actually staying gone. It wasn't just like falling off me like a lot of mainstream product or a lot of mainstream programs will promise you. Like I wasn't losing 5 pounds a week, but I was still pretty consistent with like 1 to 2 pounds each week. And it wasn't recycling. It wasn't coming back on. So right. that was the main purpose of trying a new diet was to try to take off the weight. So that was definitely a plus. And I was also still testing my blood sugars, and I noticed that those are actually going down from, they're averaging fasting around 130 to 140, which is the type 2 diabetic range. And after like, I don't remember exactly, but it was like within three to six months, they were down in the 90s.
That's just, which is really awesome. And that's, a lot of people see that if they're consistent enough. A lot of people will try some of the things that we talk about and their fasting blood sugar doesn't go down to 90, you know, within a week. And they're like, oh, well, this doesn't work. But you see with you, it's just kind of, it's just a matter of being consistent and it eventually gets there.
Yeah, it took time. And, you know, those doctors I talked about earlier, the doctor and the nutritionist, I'm sure that they would have told me that something like that's not possible unless I was taking medication, but I was actually starting to come off medications.
Right. And so a lot of these other things started to improve for you. And I didn't hear from Nyssa at all, like not in the support group asking questions. I don't think I ever heard from you until you emailed me a before and after picture of yourself after you had lost, I think it was 90 pounds or you were at the 70 mark. I can't remember. But you also sent me a before and after picture of your dog, which I thought was completely awesome.
Yeah, I had two dogs at the time. I had a really tall and thin husky. And then I had a really short and fat Pomeranian Chihuahua mix. And the little dog ate all of the big dog's food. So he got very round. And once I had learned about, you know, lowering my carbs to lose weight, I put her on a lower carb food. And she actually started losing a lot of weight. And she started pooping more, too.
Right. And her before and after pictures were really impressive. It was really funny. Really excellent stuff. Okay. So at this point, you think that all of this stuff is magic because all of these, you also sent me a picture of this box of medications that you no longer needed, which was really funny too. But these issues had improved for you. You'd lost a lot of weight. And then you heard us talking about keto on an episode and it interested you and you started checking out Jimmy and all these other people. Or was this after the second pregnancy or?
No, it was still after the first. So I had lost about 70 or so pounds in a little bit, I don't know, like maybe a little bit under a year. And so it was around that time that you had started talking about keto. And of course, I've heard about low carb for years. I tried Atkins back in the day and other protein power, other low carb diets like that. So I understood what all that was, but I had never heard of keto before. And you guys did a keto podcast. So like I said, I'm a health nerd. So like once you talk about it, then I need to go out and find all the articles relating to it. And so at that point, I was already down about 70 pounds. And when you did the podcast, we were going on vacation. So I was smart enough to know not to try it while on vacation because I knew that I would fail. So I waited to try it until I come back because I'd still wanted to lose about 20 more pounds. And I just heard about how magical it was. And I wanted to do it as quickly as possible, like most people out there.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So tell us about how you got started with that.
So my husband travels a lot for work. And at the time I had a baby, I think he was like 17 or 18 months old at the time. He had just started walking the week before. And my husband was going out of town and I decided that I was going to start keto, which is, you know, just lowering my carbs a lot more and raising my fat. And of course, when my husband leaves and I start this new diet that I'm determined to stick to, my baby gets really sick for the first time. And he was vomiting everywhere. He held all day.
And, oh, that's a good time.
Yeah. And I didn't really prepare because I thought I could just wing it. I thought I could just, you know, start eating less carbs and I'd be okay. So basically that whole first week, I stuck to it. I ate a lot of dark chocolate and a lot of sunflower seeds and, you know, things that were quick to grab because I had to hold on to this baby the whole week.
Right. Just to be clear, we're not about to talk about how to do the dark chocolate / sunflower seed diet.
Yeah, not really a great way to start. And I paid for it.
Right. Right. Okay. So then things start going well and you just keep researching and learning more stuff. And eventually you figure out what's really working for you and you get to your goal weight and you're like, holy mackerel, maybe my goal weight should be even a little less than this or something. I can't remember how you got there, but I know that you're below where you thought you wanted to be, right?
Yeah. What happened was, so I had lost about another 20 pounds and then I got pregnant again with my second child. And the good news about the second pregnancy is doctors told me, because I was also older, I was older than 35. So since I had gestational diabetes the first time, they told me it was a likely chance that I would have it the second time, being older and having the history of it. And I didn't stay keto because my body wasn't processing all the food that great yet. So I still had some carbs that I needed to eat, but I still stuck with a lot of the higher fat foods that I was eating. And I was able to avoid gestational diabetes the second time around, which, like I said, they told me was pretty much impossible. So right. That was good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, during the second pregnancy, I still did gain weight. I gained probably another 60 pounds or so. Part of that was my baby was almost 10 pounds, so he took a lot of that weight.
Yeah, whoops. That's a big one.
Yeah, I have two really big kids. But so that was part of it. So after I had him, I wanted to get back down to the weight I started before pregnancy. So I, you know, after I took time to heal, I went back to keto and I started throwing in some intermittent fasting. And I actually lost another 65 pounds, which was lower than where I was before. So I was just trying to get back to like 150. And it had just become so easy that I just kept going and I got to like 135, which is actually lower than I think I was maybe even in junior high school.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty crazy. Nobody thinks they'll ever get, you know, down to that range when they're carrying a trapper keeper around.
Exactly.
So it turns out that after Nyssa took our bioindividuality coach course and just to learn more for herself and her family, then we came out with our health pro marketing course and she was like, oh, I'll try that out. And then decided she was going to do this for a living. And now you can go to her website, Eating Fat is the New Skinny. And you can see, you know, all the great blogs that she has and she's writing books. What was the name of the first book that people can find on Amazon?
It's called My Big Fat Life Transformation.
Yeah. And I think you have a cookbook out too.
Yeah, that one's The Lazy Keto Gourmet.
Okay, that's great. So she kind of took information that she was using to improve her own health and is now teaching other people how to do it and has really dug a lot deeper into keto than I ever did. So I really wanted to bring her on today because, you know, it really is almost a magical diet for a lot of people, because it basically, we know that by reducing carbs, you can bring insulin down and then your body's able to burn stored fat for fuel. But keto kind of makes it to where a lot, you don't deal with those cravings as much. So it can really be amazing and make it a lot easier to just basically remove most carbs. But it's not going to work for everybody. And we want to talk about some of the downsides, a lot of the pros and some of the cons, so that you can figure out for yourself, okay, am I the right person to do this? Or if I'm not the right person, but it sounds like a diet that would be attractive to me, what do I need to fix so that I qualify to succeed at that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that hear about all the benefits and they try to force themselves to be the right person, but they don't know how to help themselves be the right person.
Yeah, I've had a couple people before I understood all this stuff who tried that and it didn't go well and they didn't like me.
No, I tried it back, you know, a few times back in the day, and I didn't like you either, and I didn't know you.
Yeah, it happens. Okay, so let's get into some of the details about keto, and maybe talk about why so many experts are against it, even though people are seeing crazy results.
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think a lot of people who are bad-mouthing it don't really understand what it is, that it's really a real food-based diet. I think a lot of people who bash it think that people are just pulling into McDonald's and pulling off the buns and just eating the burgers and the cheese, right, and licking the salt off fries.
That sounds like a very attractive lunch partner to eat with.
I'm not going to say that I've never done that, but it's not the good way to do it.
Right, exactly.
I also think a lot of dietitians and doctors are maybe trained to think that people aren't willing to make such drastic changes to go from the junk foods to real foods. So especially with my experience with meeting with dietitians, they try to meet you in the middle and they recommend these junk foods that they call healthy. So, you know, a lot of foods with artificial sweeteners, or they tell you to go from drinking regular pop to diet pop, which, I mean, they should be telling everyone to drink water, but they tell you to drink artificially sweetened water instead.
Right. Here's a less evil version of the crap that you're eating. And, you know, the reality is that it is true that there's a lot of people out there who are not willing to put any effort into improving their health, and they just want a pill that's going to remove the symptom, and they don't care, you know, what the price is for that. But what's going on is now they have this thing that's called the internet, and it's just so easy to find information, to learn, and to see stories from other people who have said, oh, I started eating like this and I fixed this health issue that my doctor said I would not be able to fix. And when people start to see that there is a real reward, they're like, hey, maybe I'm willing to do some of this work. So a lot of the medical community needs to get past that view of people aren't going to want to do anything, because the fact is now people are starting to do stuff.
Yeah, and I think once people start to make the smaller changes and they start to feel better, then they go on to bigger and better changes. Because the first time I saw a dietitian, I think I was 12 or 13 years old, and they were telling me all these changes that I should make, and I wasn't going to make it when I was that age or even a little bit older. But, you know, now that I've been through a 20-year history of losing weight and gaining weight, I started making some of the smaller changes that felt good. So I made even more changes. I felt better. And so I just continued making changes over time instead of drastically changing everything all at once. And now I eat a diet full of meat and veggies, and I wouldn't even recognize myself 3 or 4 years ago.
Right, exactly. And when you're in the middle of that, you can't imagine that, man, I'm gonna crave Brussels sprouts one day. You don't know that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, recently, so I'm doing some experimenting with eliminating certain foods, and I had to eliminate cauliflower for a month, and I dreaded it, and I was really sad to not have cauliflower, and I never even knew I liked cauliflower before.
Right, that's hilarious. Good stuff.
Yeah. So I also think other issues is it's just so far away from what a lot of dietitians and doctors learn in school about nutrition, or, you know, the what's out there for the past 50 years is keto. With keto, you don't have to necessarily count calories, and they say you have to, or you won't lose weight. And, you know, they tell you you need low fat for heart health, or you got to eat the healthy whole grains that they talk about. So I think keto is just so far removed from that, that it scares them.
Right. And, you know, anybody listening to this show very likely knows that low fat is not the way to go. And most people in our industry, you know, agree with all of that. And sometimes we forget that it can take 20 years for the mainstream to catch up with new information. So there's still, you know, the majority of the population out there that when they say they're trying to lose weight, they'll tell me, well, I'm eating low fat and I'm not losing any weight. And they're like, oh, you're still in 1980.
Yeah, I have friends that are in the health industry that still think that way, even though, you know, they've seen the success I've had and they see what I promote, they still don't believe it.
Right. And it's, that must be funny for your friends, because I think Nyssa has been on every local news show possible with all the weight that she lost. And then they put her in People magazine as featured as somebody lose 100 pounds. And so her friends must be just kind of freaking out. And I bet that kind of brings a lot of people around.
Yeah, I think so. I know I have a lot of friends and family members that not only follow me, but now they're following you as well, and, you know, asking me for advice on how to get this all down.
Right. If you're a health, fitness, or nutrition professional, check out our other podcast, Six Figure Health Pro. We dig into the latest marketing techniques and business growing strategies for health professionals. To learn how to take your business to the next level, search for Six Figure Health Pro on iTunes or Stitcher, or go to sixfigurehealthpro.com to learn more. Now do what you're told. Okay, so let's start looking at some of the specifics, like, you know, what's the difference between keto and just eating low carb? Because both are meant to, you know, bring insulin down. So what are the differences?
So when I started low carb, I was probably still eating between 100, some days, maybe even 150 grams of carbs per day. And I was breaking it up through meals and snacks where I would eat like 20 to 30 each meal. And I was still able to lose weight like that because most Americans are eating more than 300 in a day. So that's definitely, you know, cutting it almost more than half, almost in a third. But keto, instead of doing 20 to 30 carbs per meal, you're going to only eat 20 to 30 carbs per day for most people.
Right.
So that's definitely one of the biggest differences. And then another difference is, sure, with a low-carb diet, you do want to eat more healthy fats, more coconut oil or butter here and there. But with keto, you want to eat a lot of fat. Like 70 to 85% of your calories are going to be from fat.
Right. And a lot of people can't even imagine doing that, or that would be healthy, because a lot of people still have the information, you know, they still have the thought of, oh, well, saturated fats are going to clog my arteries. And of course, in my book, I kind of outline all that kind of stuff, why that's fiction. And it's actually the excessive carbs that we're eating that create the saturated fats in our arteries. And so, but they haven't gotten past that yet. So I know that when some people hear 70 to 80% of what I eat is going to be fat, how is that going to be a good thing?
Yeah, I don't know if they just imagine they're eating French fries all day, but that's not low carb, so that won't work.
Right.
And then I think the third biggest difference is with protein. So keto is more of a moderate protein diet, which is going to be less protein for some people. Maybe people who've done low carb in the past, like Atkins, you're probably eating more protein. But for a lot of people in the mainstream who do diets like Weight Watchers, you actually might be eating more protein than you're used to.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot is, and especially if you're listening to this and you have a sweet tooth and you have to have carbs or you become a mental case, that in most cases, those people are not digesting protein well enough to utilize it. So they start to gravitate towards food that they can eat without it sitting in their stomach and feeling like a rock for 8 hours. So a lot of times when you start to have what we consider less protein on a keto diet, it can still be more than what some of these people are eating when they're living off of pasta, rice, and corn chips.
I once lived off of a box of croutons.
So it's, did you think, were you thinking like it's part of what's in a salad, so it must be at least a little better?
No, I love them and they're low in calories. So I thought if I could just eat that all day throughout like the work day that I wouldn't be hungry, but I was starving.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So should we get into some of the pros when we're talking about a keto diet?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest reasons that people want to start keto is because they see how quickly other people are losing weight from keto.
Right. And some of the weight loss it's significant. And when they're doing it right, it's very easy for them. And, Gabe, when he was losing weight while we're making the weight loss documentary, he wasn't doing full on keto, but most people know that when you follow my book, if you get to the maximum efficiency, you're almost keto or you're leaning in that direction, or a lot of people are eating in a way that they're at least going to be making a lot of extra ketones. But his thing was, people would ask him like, how are you doing this? He's like, it's just easy.
Yeah, it does become really easy once you get in the groove of it.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
So I think another pro is a lot of the health benefits that come along with keto. With me, for instance, my diabetic blood sugar levels came down into normal ranges. So that's obviously huge. That can happen a lot for people that are following a keto diet as well.
Exactly.
And there's a ton of other benefits. Like if you're a woman and you're trying to get pregnant, and a lot of women who start following keto all of a sudden have keto babies because their insulin is coming down. And I'm sure you know all the signs. I don't really understand that much of it, but there's a lot of keto.
A lot of it is, a lot of problems that come when you're consuming a lot of carbs is that you're creating the spikes and then the huge crashes. A lot of these hypoglycemic girls get the huge crashes, and it's in that very deep crash that the body's in this emergency state. So the body's like, I can't make a baby right now. I'm in this emergency, five times a day. So when they can remove the carbs and do enough things that allow them to move their diet away from those carbs, which you can't, a lot of these people can't just stop eating carbs like it's a good idea. They have to do a lot of the steps that we teach to do, like fixing digestion and all these things. But if they can get to that point and they remove those spikes and crashes, all of a sudden the body can operate in a much better way. And that's a big thing that I like people to understand. I don't like people to view a ketogenic diet like it's not only magic for weight loss, but also magic for specific health issues, because we're hearing now all these stories of, I think you listed 30 different incurable diseases that you fixed, right? But, a lot of people are doing this now. And it's not that the diet is magic or that even ketones are magic and healing. It's that a lot of these issues are created from consistently over-consuming carbs and consistently high levels of insulin that are creating all this inflammation, and these problems just manifest themselves differently from person to person. So you have this wide variety of diseases and illnesses and problems that are coming from this. So when you can take a step that allows that person to bring those carbs down, bring the insulin down, bring the inflammation down, allow the body not to feel like it's in an emergency all the time, then it comes across like it's magic, when it's really just allowing the body to repair itself like it's meant to do.
Definitely.
But the thing that is magic is that it lets the person remove the carbs without the battle that they usually face when they try to do it without taking the right steps. So by using this diet that allows your body to run off of fat, all of a sudden those cravings you used to have are just gone because your body has what it needs.
Yeah. And I think that leads into another benefit, is that you don't need to eat the 3 meals and 2 snacks that most people need in order to make it through the day.
Right.
Because you're opening up that stored fat and your body can start to run off of that instead of shoving food down all day long.
Right. And it actually can start to free up your schedule,
Yeah, it did that for me. You know, I have two small kids and the mornings get really crazy here. My kids are super picky eaters, so I got to make them each a different breakfast, and then they want more food and they're constantly vying for my attention. So keto has been great for me because I don't really get hungry until lunchtime, so I could just take care of them and worry about their needs and worry about myself later.
Right. So that's pretty nice.
Yes.
That's almost worth doing it all alone. Okay. Yes. So before everybody does like you did when we first talked about keto and just says, okay, I'm going to do this. Husband, go out of town so I can do it without you looking. Let's talk about why so many people fail when they try this so that people can avoid doing that.
So like I said, throughout my 20 plus year yo-yo diet history, I did try low carb all the way back in 2003. So I've tried it several times since then. And I never lasted very long because, you know, after years of low calorie diets, my body was not able to digest protein or fats very well. And that always led to me craving the junk food carbs pretty much right after I vowed to stay to my low carb diet.
Right. Because people think, oh, I just don't have any willpower, but that's not the case. It's that this is the only fuel that you can process correctly is this easy to break down carbs, because if digestion is not working correct, you can't pull fuel from the other one. So when you try to stop eating, the only fuel your body can use, it's not going to go well. You're not going to succeed doing that.
Yeah, I always tried to use my willpower as long as I could, and I powered through until I would just get sick or feel weak and shaky. And, you know, I needed those nachos because they tasted good. Like, my body physically needed them.
Right. And even if you could willpower past that, you start to become a different person to where your spouse might say, hey, maybe I give you some potato chips.
Yes, you get hangry.
Yeah, it's hangry, but it's on a 24-hour basis all the time. So you don't want to do that. Yet you don't want to battle your way into weight loss, because that's not sustainable in a life.
No, I tried that for a long time.
Right. Okay. How else do people fail?
One of the problems that I had when I was also trying out low carb diets back in the day was I was still eating all the processed junk foods. So it was low carb processed foods that maybe were higher in fat, but it was still not real food with real nutrients. So I was always hungry because I wasn't giving my body any real nutrients.
Right. I can remember 15 years ago or so, there was a low carb store near where I lived, and I would go there and I would just get carts full of all of this junk and wrappers that said low carb in it. And I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, I actually liked the low carb Slim Fast, which didn't taste very good, but I thought I was doing a good thing.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so that can be a real problem.
Yeah. Okay. I think another huge problem that I see that is still persisting, I see it every day, is people who are trying to take keto and mash it up with Weight Watchers, and they're trying to eat low calorie keto.
Oh, that's not going to work.
No, and people will argue with you that that's the only way they could lose weight. I've worked with people one-on-one health coaching, and I've seen women that were eating as low as 900 calories a day while they were on keto. And some of them were doing that because they've had actual doctors telling them to do that.
So they basically have a pat of butter and then they're done for the day.
Yeah. I don't even know how they feel good. Like, I had someone I was working with that had a lot of issues with her thyroids and adrenals, and her doctors told her to eat 900 calories.
Yeah.
And there's no way to heal. Like, keto is a very, very healing diet, and there's no way to heal your body if you're only eating 900 calories a day.
Right. You're putting the body in an emergency state where it's like, I got to get something to function. What am I doing here? So in order to, you know, your body views stored fat like money in the bank, because it needs fats for a lot of processes that it runs. So you need to be bringing in enough fat and letting your body to get enough resources for it to feel okay with, okay, I don't need to hold on to all this stored fat. I can burn it and use it. And, you know, we're talking about digestion before. A big part of that is proper bile flow, because bile is what we use to emulsify the fats so that we can break them apart and then our body can use them. So I see people that are increasing their fat intake, but they don't have bile flowing correctly. So now these fats, instead of becoming fuel for the body, they become a problem that the body has to deal with, and they become toxic and they rot and ferment, and your body starts storing this toxic junk in fat cells to keep the body safe. And so then they think, oh, keto doesn't work for me, because either they're not processing those fats, or they're doing this thing where I'm going to try and eat 900 calories and they're not eating enough fats to give the body what it needs to function.
Yeah, I calculated how much my two-year-old eats, and he eats more than 900 calories in a day. So there's people that are trying to function on less than what a toddler consumes every day.
Right, exactly. So just tell them if they're going to do that, that they should also practice their ABCs.
Yes. And the sad thing about it is, you know, not only people are coming up with this idea on their own, but there's people who are leading these big keto challenges, or, you know, even writing books, people who are very affluent in the keto community, and they're advocating for these low calorie diets that are, you know, 1,000, 1,100 calories that you're supposed to eat daily. And they're telling people that that's how they need to follow keto in order to lose weight.
Okay, hold on just a second here. You're saying that there's people that are writing books that are not correct?
I know.
That's crazy.
Someone sent me a screenshot from a book from a really popular keto author, and I was just shocked at the meal plan. Like, it doesn't even seem sane at how low the intake was.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yep, yeah. It happens.
So, I mean, that's someone who you think should know better. If they're getting published by a company, you know, that's publishing their books, you think that they would check it out and make sure that it was a sane program.
Yeah, that's going to be, we're a long way off from that happening all the time.
Yeah. And I recently just joined another keto program, just kind of to see what's out there and just, you know, looking to see what other people are being told. And so there's this girl who runs this popular program, and she calculates macros for you. So I wanted to have that done, and she sent it back to me, and she wants me to eat less than 1,300 calories each day following keto, which I'm smaller now. I'm like around 135 pounds. So in the dieting world, 1,300 calories does make sense when you are going off of calories in versus calories out. After all, that's what I followed all of those years that I was yo-yo dieting, was around 1,200 or 1,300 calories a day while also exercising intensely.
Right.
But I feel like in the keto world, I would never even think to eat 1,300 calories to lose weight. That just seems so low to me, like I would be starving and miserable. So I know I've been doing keto for a while, and I'm pretty sure not even at the beginning have I ever gone below 1,600. And that was when I first started. And I've built up to even more, to where I eat probably 2,000 or 2,200 calories. I don't count, but on a few days where I have looked at it, that's where I end up.
Yeah.
And, you know, for this person to tell me that I should be eating only 1,300 just seems like it's going to break my metabolism down until it just, you know, I can't eat anymore.
Okay. So we know that that's not a good idea.
No. But so many people are still promoting that and following that.
Okay, so let's look at what other big mistakes do people make.
So another big mistake is a lot of people will go from the standard American diet, where they're consuming more than 300 carbs a day, and someone tells them about how great keto is, and so the next day they decide that they're going to eat dark chocolate and sunflower seeds so that they don't go above 20 carbs in a day, and they're basically shocking their body, because their body only really knows how to burn glucose effectively, and they haven't given their body any time to adapt, and they basically feel miserable.
Right. We see like it works much better to first make sure that your body can process these foods that you're going to eat, because if you're going from eating to a vending machine to eating real food, you have to be able to digest real food, and you also need to be able to get there gradually so your body can see, okay, I can run a little bit more off of fat right now than all this glucose. So I'm going to start doing that some, and then you can start dropping it even further.
And I also think that a lot of people are committing to eating this very high fat diet, and they don't really understand what they're getting themselves into. They don't know how to get that much fat into their diet, and they don't really understand how they're going to feel if they're not digesting fat. So it can make them feel pretty bad if they just jump from the standard American diet to one of keto macros.
Right. And what about protein?
With protein, like I said, with keto, it's moderate. So some people who maybe are in the bodybuilding world or coming from the low carb world, they might have to eat less protein. But there's a lot of people out there that I know live on bagels and pasta, and none of that really has a lot of protein. So they might not be digesting that protein very well because they're not used to taking it in every day.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah, you can see how these are simple mistakes, but if you understand how your body works and how the diet works, you can see that any one of these mistakes could make it to where a person would either feel miserable or gain weight on a ketogenic diet. Okay, what else do we have?
So when I first started, I joined all the keto boards on Facebook, and there are so many people out there that are just so strict with their keto macros, and they make it super complicated. And they basically turn into these keto Nazis that tell you there's only one way. And if you're not doing it their way, then you're doing it the wrong way.
No carbs for you.
Exactly. Yeah, there's so many people that believe that keto is basically eating less than 20 grams of carbs. And that's it. That's all you have to do to get into ketosis. Nothing else matters. As long as you drop your carbs below 20, that's all that matters. And that's super far away from the truth.
And the reason that they get confused like that is because there are people, you know, that we see that there are people that already exist, that their body tends to burn fat better than glucose. That's just how it is. There's a lot of people out there. Some people don't burn glucose at all, hardly at all, and they call them type 2 diabetics. So we know that this happens. So if a person's already leaning that direction, and they start to lower their carbs a lot, their body can say, oh, I'm already good at burning fat. I'm going to start doing that a whole lot more. And they go right into ketosis. And so when these experts see that happen to somebody, they just think, oh, this is the way to do it. Everybody should do it this way. And they don't understand that some people are operating only off of carbs. And they're not only is their body not burning fat, but they can't even digest it when they consume it.
And not only that, but so lowering your carbs is a big part of it. But then there's people like my husband who, when he came back from his work trip, he did start keto with me. And so he had been doing keto for a long time. And he basically thought it was just low carb, where you lower your carbs below 20 and then you should get into ketosis. And he wasn't. When we got our ketone meters and we checked, I was always in ketosis, but he wasn't. And so after doing some research and you know, trying out different things, he actually had to double the amount of fat that he was eating before he would even register ketones.
Right. And then by increasing that fat, all of a sudden, the weight starts to fall off.
Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of other factors that, you know, could be keeping people out of ketosis too. So it definitely goes way beyond the eat less than 20 carbs and that's all you need to do.
Right. Exactly. And there's just, you know, different people that have different rules that they're promoting as this should work for everybody. Are there other things that are crazy?
Yeah. So in those keto groups, I'm not really in a lot of them anymore because people get really mean. Like they think something's working for them and they're just keto bullies. Like people call them keto bullies or bullies.
Yeah. It's like, it can be on just about anything on Facebook. I find that if people are not watching funny videos of cats, that they can just get mean real easy.
Yeah, and these people, so there's a couple of researchers out there, Finney and Bullock, and their research basically insists that everyone needs to eat higher protein, keto, and that they need to limit their fat on a high-fat diet, that they should eat low-fat on a high-fat diet, and they need to limit their calories in order to succeed. And a lot of people follow this like it's gospel because it works for them maybe at the beginning. But I think what a lot of people don't understand is these are researchers that, you know, they're following science, but they're not necessarily working with real life people every day.
Right. That can be a big problem.
Oh yeah. And if I had followed this plan, it wouldn't have worked for me. But for some reason, I found that in the keto groups, the people who follow this logic are some of the biggest bullies around, where they will just like harass you and tell you you're not right, ask you where your research is, even though I lost more than 100 pounds. I think that's pretty good research. But they'll ask me where my study is. And I've even left groups because I was being harassed, and they followed me over to my own page and they'll start leaving.
You have keto stalkers now?
Yeah. I mean, some
it's pretty exciting.
Where my husband was going to like track him down and beat him up.
You haven't made it until you have keto stalkers. That's what they say.
I don't like those stalkers.
Okay. So with all these different versions, who's right? You know?
Yeah. There's definitely so many different kinds of keto out there too, which I think confuses people, because there's the low calorie keto we just talked about, or the high protein keto. There's something called lazy keto that people follow. And I think that sometimes no one's right, because different versions will work for different people.
Right. And that's what we understand.
Yeah. And I don't really agree with the low calorie keto, because you're just making your metabolism lower by constantly eating less and less calories. And I think that is going to catch up with you over time, like it did for me for more than 20 years. And I also don't think that the high protein keto, maybe it works for people at the start, or it might work for people who are in the bodybuilding world that might need extra protein if they're weight training. But I think if you are very insulin resistant, that approach isn't going to work for too many people.
Right.
And then there's the lazy keto approach, which I've obviously taken since my second book is the Lazy Keto Gourmet. And I think this works for a lot of people, especially at the beginning, because people are going from, you know, a very highly processed food diet that's full of carbs to maybe another highly processed food diet that's lower in carbs. And I think they're lowering their carbs. So it does work for them for a while. But I feel like once you get used to lowering your carbs, then you should keep progressing. And you could still be lazy keto, but you still want to make better nutrition choices so it lasts for your lifetime instead of just lasting for a short time like other diets can.
Right. You want to be able to sustain any weight loss that you achieve, or you're just the guy who's going to go up and down.
Yeah. And it's easier, you know, once you make one change and you start to see some results, it's easier to keep making the next best change to improve your health.
Right. Exactly. So when someone's really going to start off with a ketogenic diet, or they want to do this, you know, the first thing that is really crucial is to, if you're dealing with digestive symptoms, or things like, you know, acne, nausea, all these things that are signs that you may not be processing fats or proteins very well, you really got to fix those before you start moving towards a diet that is predominantly those types of foods. And what other initial steps do you feel are the most important?
I think just making the transition a little more slowly. There's just so many people out there that recommend, you know, going from standard American diet to keto the next day. And I think that is going to just make for a lot of miserable people.
Right. And another thing that's important to understand is that, you know, there a lot of people fail on a keto diet because they have a lot of these things going wrong, or they can't digest the food correctly. But eating this way can also create other imbalances that can cause problems as well. If you don't know what to look for, if you know what to look for, then you can watch your physiology and see if those issues are starting to magnify or get worse. And you can take steps to fix those. And then a keto diet can work for you, or you can make adjustments to get a lot of the benefits that you would by using basically a low carb diet without going to full keto macros. So there's a lot of variation in what can work for each person. And if you understand these things, then it's easy just to figure out what's going to work for you. So, you know, we went through a lot of these things today, but Nissa and I are going to do a free webinar this week where we can dig into some of these things a little deeper and talk about, you know, if you can't digest fats, how do you fix that? And if we also want to talk about some of the imbalances that can develop over time and ways to watch out for them and steps you can take to improve them. So if you want to attend this free webinar and kind of dig into this a little bit deeper, you can go to kickitnaturally.com/keto, and register for that webinar. It's going to take place this week. And if you're listening to this later, maybe it's not the week that this episode comes out, still go to that that link, thekickitnaturally.com/keto, and see when our next webinar is going to come up. And we'll be doing some of these from time to time to dig into some more of these kind of keto things. Anything to add to that, Nissa?
No, I think you covered it all.
Okay, awesome. This has been really great. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all this stuff that you've learned over the years. You know, there's a lot of people teaching keto out there, and I always tell people there's only one that's teaching it right, because she's learned some of the stuff that we teach about you need to fix digestion before you can do this, or it's all going to go amok.
I agree with you. There's a lot of people that I follow that I've learned a lot from about keto, but then I hear them say some things like, no, don't tell people that. That's wrong.
Right? Stop talking. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so where can people learn more about you? Where should they go to read more of your stuff?
So I have my website, which is eatingfatisthenewskinny.com. And I am also on Facebook and Instagram at Eating Fat is the New Skinny. And for anyone that needs help, I do have a free Facebook support group, which is called Eating Fat is the New Skinny Support Group.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so definitely check all that stuff out. And Nissa and I are actually putting together a keto course that's going to dig into the depth of all of these things. And so that'll be done pretty soon. But go and register for that webinar now, and we'll see you guys later this week and dig a little bit deeper into some of these topics. So we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Thank you.
That's it for our show. Don't cry. If you want to read Tony's book for free, go to kickitnaturally.com/book. If you want us to cover a question on an upcoming show, go to kickitnaturally.com and click on Ask Tony. I know there's got to be a joke there. We'll see you next time on Kick It Naturally.
Scoobity doobity, dabity doobity.